Alma que no tiene ningún ser, de ningún es lo que yo. Chakshus Mahatma, Tasmay Sri Vivanama. Sri Chaitanya Marabhistam, Stapitam, Vinabhutale, Sayam Vipakadamayam, Nadati Sapanandika. Vanasa Kalpatrubhyascha, Vipasindhavayasha, Fatihyam, Pabinibhu Vaishnavayanamama. The end of Prabhupada's introduction to the first chapter. He gives a little summary of the entire 10th canto. This is just two paragraphs at the end of the introduction. We'll read that. Krishna has threefold pastimes, the Vrajalila, Mathura Lila, and Dwarka Lila. As already mentioned, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 90 chapters which describe all these Lilas. The first four chapters describe Brahma's prayers for the relief of the earth's burden, and they also describe the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chapters 5 through 39 recount Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. The 40th chapter describes how Krishna enjoyed in the water of the Jamuna and how Akrura offered prayers. Chapter 41 through 51, 11 chapters, tell of Krishna's pastimes in Mathura. And chapters 52 through 90, 39 chapters, relate Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka. Chapters 29 through 33 describe Krishna's dancing with the gopis, known as the Rasalila. Therefore, these chapters are known as Rasa Panchadhyaya. The 47th chapter of the 10th canto is a description known as the Brahma Gita, Song of the Bumblebee, as it's translated in the Krishna book. In the Krishna book, which summarizes the 10th canto as Prabhupada's summary study of the 10th canto, the actual first chapter begins after these preliminary verses. And these preliminary verses, perhaps 1 through 13, there in the introduction, at the end of the introduction of Prabhupada's Krishna book. We'll begin at the best place, which is the beginning. We'll read different parts of the purport. King Pirikit said, because at the end of, in the ninth canto, there were so many lineages. First the Surya dynasty, the dynasties coming from the sun god, and then the Soma dynasty, the dynasties coming from the moon god. And as we ended the ninth canto, after the description of the dynasties coming from the moon god, we heard that Krishna himself was born in the Soma dynasty, in the dynasty of the moon. And now, and Balaram, Krishna's brother, both of whom are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Something was described about them. Now Pariksit Maharaj, after hearing that, says, "My dear Lord," he said to Sukadeva Goswami, "you have elaborately described the dynasties of both the moon god and the sun god with the exalted and wonderful character of their kings." Because that's one of the reasons why Krishna's pastimes and the Puranas in general, the old Vedic literatures, things are described, all the pastimes are described in relationship to kings, because kings are very exciting. They have a particular nature that is attractive due to their power. They have Ishwara Bhav, the mood of controlling, and it's very attractive, charisma. And they're always fighting battles, and that's also interesting and attracts people's attention. They're wealthy, that attracts people's attention, and they do very big and powerful deeds that also attract Krishna's people's attention. So the dynasties of both the sun god and the moon god were described with the exalted and wonderful character of the kings. Second verse. O best of Munis, you have also described the descendants of Maharaj Yaru, of Yaru, who were very pious and strictly adherent to religious principles. Now, if you will, kindly describe the wonderful, glorious activities of Lord Vishnu, of Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared in that Yadu dynasty with Baladev, his plenary expansion. What does plenary mean? We hear that word many, many times. Prabhupada uses it again and again. What does plenary mean? Yes. Means complete. So when Prabhupada says that there's a plenary expansion of Krishna, or a plenary incarnation, that means that he is complete in his possession of potency. Of course, no matter who that expansion is, he can't be as full as Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, has analyzed the specific qualities of Krishna as 64 wonderful qualities. And out of those 64, his plenary expansions, his complete expansions, such as Lord Narayan, or Karnadakshai Vishnu, or the different forms of God that manifest the material world, or even the rulers of the spiritual planets known as Vaikuntha, they contain 60 of those 64 qualities. 96%, I believe. Or 94%. 94% of the qualities of Krishna. Yet, those qualities that they possess are so great, they are still considered plenary expansions of Krishna, complete. And the example given in the Brahma Samhita is that if we take one candle and light another candle, and from that second candle light a third candle, and from the third candle light a fourth candle. And this verse will be quoted in one right over here. No, it won't be quoted. But those candles, they're all of equal power. But yet there is an original candle. And in the case of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that original candle possesses four qualities that none of the plenary expansions possess. They are Lila Madhurya, that his pastimes in Vrindavan especially are incredibly sweet. And the Lord of the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, the Lord of the spiritual planets, Lord Narayan, he performs pastimes that are full of awe and reverence. Everyone just worships him, the supreme God. But Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are not like that. They have a special sweetness. And Krishna has Rupa Madhurya, an especially sweet form, playing his flute, bent Tribhanga in three ways, especially sweet, with his especially sweet smile, his earrings, his hair, everything has a special sweetness, is the way he decorates himself. And his sweet flute playing itself also is considered a special sweetness. So Rupa Madhurya, Lila Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, and one other. Anyone know? Yes, with his intimate associates. He deals with his intimate associates. But that may be included in Lila Madhurya, or pastimes, incredible pastimes. Huh? Childhood means the Vrindavan pastimes. So, although there are many forms of the Lord, and they are all God, and no one will say that, oh, Vishnu, he's not the supreme, or he's not as great as Krishna. No, that really shouldn't be said at all. And devotees of Lord Narayana, they're so much respected. But yet, there's something special in Krishna's worship. Very special. So the particular teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasize the wonder of this speciality. Because there are so many religions in this world, and we can differentiate what we mean by Krishna consciousness and the different religions of the world in many ways. One way is we say that they have a beginning. Every religion has a beginning in time. Some founder came who was empowered, or maybe even the Lord himself, who was empowered, and he started a religion with religious practices. But ultimately what all religions teach is called Sanatana Dharma, which is the actual, the souls, not religion exactly, but what is inseparable from him. And that is his service, that a soul must serve regardless of what his religion is, regardless if he's an atheist or a theist. He must serve. That is his eternal constitutional position and is non-separable from him. Just like sweetness is non-separable from sugar. It is its dharma. We can't say salty sugar or spicy sugar. No, sugar means sweetness. The soul means service. Being a soul means service. And all religions teach that service. So that service, when it is brought to its highest and most intimate level, when it is filled with the deepest, purest, most intense, intimate, affectionate love for the Supreme Lord Krishna, that is called Krishna consciousness. Krishna bhakti rasato bhavato mati. This is the sweet mellow of Krishna bhakti ras. That is Krishna consciousness. The sweet taste of the soul's intimate, fully opened, his relationship, when that service, loving service, is brought to its highest capacity, most intense and sweet. That is called Krishna consciousness. So that is what that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. Anarpitam chiram charat kunavatirno kalo. And he also gave the methodology for achieving that highest, deepest relationship with Krishna. Highest and deepest. And what is that methodology? William? What is the means to attain that? And what is the essence of that? Sakal sadhana sheshta panchanga, 5 and then the 9, 64, and then it could be divided into 9, and then it could be divided into 5, and then it could be divided, you could say that. What did Mahaprabhu teach? Chanting, I'll give you a hint. Chanting, Hari. Krishna. Yeah, therefore, this is the Hari Krishna movement. For no other reason is that the mission is to spread the chanting of Hare Krishna all over. So he's asking, so immediately Prickett Maharaj has heard Sukadev speak about Krishna, that Krishna was born, and he wants to hear about Krishna. We'll read just the last little paragraph in the purport. Maharaj Prickett requested Sukadev Goswami to describe Krishna and his glorious activities. Another meaning may be derived from this verse as follows. Although Sukadev Goswami was the greatest muni, he was the greatest scholar, sage, he could describe Krishna only partially, amsena. For no one can describe Krishna fully. It is said that Anantadev, it was actually Lord Balaram manifested Anantadev. It is said that Anantadev has thousands of heads, but although he tries to describe Krishna with thousands of tongues, his descriptions are still incomplete. So what Sukadev Goswami will describe is about Krishna, 90 chapters, and although it is wonderful, and although it is by far the biggest canto in the Bhagavatam, still, it is not the end of what one can say about Krishna. Indeed, the Goswamis, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, have written so many volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes and volumes of transcendental literatures that describe Krishna. Because Krishna, his form, his activities, his beauty, all unlimited. So he wants to hear about Krishna. Okay. The super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead. This is text 3. Sri Krishna, the cause of the cosmic manifestation. So it's very important to keep this in mind, of course. When we're hearing about Krishna, especially when he's in Vrindavan, we're going to hear how he allows his devotees to act so intimately with him. And he takes away, not loses, but he hides his position as God, as the Ishwar, as the controller, as the all-powerful. But just like the president or the king, when he's at home, he's playing with his children, he's pushing them, they push him, maybe a little boy goes like that, and he pushes the king, and the king falls over, makes believe that he's dead or something. Just imagine if the Secret Service men would see that. They'd immediately stop it. But this is at home. He's allowed to do that. This is his deepest pleasure. So similarly in Vrindavan, Krishna is very intimate, but yet that doesn't mean that he's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the All-Powerful. He's the cause of the cosmic manifestation. Remember that. Even when he's in Vrindavan playing on his flute, herding the cows, He's the super soul. He's in everyone's heart. Everyone. Every living entity. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridishay Adrinatishati. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the cause of the cosmic manifestation. Everything is coming from Him. He's the cause of all causes. Sarvakarana Karanam. He appeared in the dynasty of Yadu. We have heard about this. And Yadu appeared in the Soma dynasty, the moon dynasty. Please tell me elaborately about his glorious activities and character from the beginning to the end of his life. So this will be the tenth canto of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, the word kritavanyani indicates that all the different activities Krishna performed while present on earth are beneficial to human society. If religionists, philosophers, and people in general simply hear the activities of Krishna, they will be liberated. We have described several times that there are two kinds of Krishna Katha. Two kinds of Krishna Katha. Topics about Krishna. Represented by Bhagavad Gita, spoke personally by Krishna about himself, and Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Sukadeva Goswami about the glories of Krishna. So one type of Krishna Katha they're so powerful. Both of these topics about Krishna varieties are so powerful they can liberate a soul and bring him to the lotus feet of Krishna. One is Bhagavad Gita, which is spoken by Krishna, and the other is the topics such as the Srimad Bhagavatam that are spoken about Krishna, not by Krishna, but about Krishna. Anyone who becomes even slightly interested in Krishna Katha is liberated. Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrajet. From the Bhagavatam 12.3.51. Simply by chanting or repeating Krishna Katha, one is liberated from the contamination of Kali Yuga. What do you know about Kali Yuga? The age of quarrel. Age of hypocrisy. It is called the Iron Age. Why is it called the Age of Quarrel?
Degradation.
Huh?
Degradation.
Yes, but why is it called the Age of Quarrel?
Everyone.
And what's the cause of the fighting? Anything. Anything could be the cause. Anything or nothing could be the cause. Over something very small, people are willing to fight, kill, because everyone is mind. Upadrutaha. Everyone's mind is so disturbed. Kalavasmin yugejana, manda, samanda, mateo, manda, abhag. Everyone is unlucky, lazy, misguided, and above all, disturbed. Everyone's minds are always agitated. So therefore, if you just bump into them, you're bumping into their agitated mind. And then, what? You? I will kill you. Excuse me. This is Kali Yuga. So simply by repeating or chanting or repeating Krishna Katha, one is liberated from the contaminations of Kali Yuga. Kirtana Deva Krishnasya. Mukta Sangha Param Vrajeta. Great benediction. So such a mission, this was what Prabhupada wanted. Yeah, Prabhupada will explain it right here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised Yare Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh. That you become Amara Gyai Guru Hai Tare Desh. You become Guru on my order, Mahaprabhu said, not because of your qualification, on my order. And what will be your job? Yare deka tainta Krishna. You give this Krishna Upadesh, this Krishna Katha, you spread it all over the world. By doing that, you will benefit the world. Why? Because it removes the hearing Krishna Katha removes the malefic effects of Kali Yuga. And oh yes, they are very bad. Dreaded diseases, wars, so much fear is in everyone's heart. If everyone's mind is agitated, so much fear, everyone is afraid continuously. What are they afraid of? So many things, and there's good reason to be afraid in Kali Yuga. But there's one good thing about Kali Yuga. Kirtana Deva Krishna Siyamukta Sangha. We take shelter of chanting Krishna's names or chanting Krishna Katha and hearing Krishna's names and hearing Krishna Katha, then we can be freed. And in Kali Yuga, really, there are so many false shelters. Just everyone is saying, come, come, come. Give me your money, give me your money. Come, come, come. And I promise you this and I promise you that. But very difficult to find something tangible, real, a real shelter in Kali Yuga. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised, Yare Dekatai Ka Krishna Upadesh. Spread this Krishna consciousness, this chanting and hearing Krishna Katha around. This is the mission of Krishna consciousness. This is the mission of the Krishna consciousness movement. To hear about Krishna and thus be liberated from material bondage. To hear and chant about Krishna. So now Sukadeva continues. Rather, Maharaj Prickett continues. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed. This is a very famous verse. Nivritta tashar upagiyamanam bhavo shada shotamana brahmat. It's oshud. This Krishna katha is oshad, medicine. It is medicine to soothe the pained hearts and minds of Kali Yuga. Hearing about Krishna soothes and cures the disease, the materialistic diseases of Kali Yuga, the disease of materialism. Navritta tarshay upagiyamanam bhavo shada shotamana brahman. Very pleasing to the heart. Ka uttama shloke gunana vada pumam vrjeta bina pashugna. And everyone will appreciate this except for the animal killers or the killer of their own souls. So here's Prabhupada's translation. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. In other words, those who don't think that there is a shelter here in the material world, who aren't interested in glorifying the beauty of the material world as if it can please the soul or give shelter, security, happiness to the soul. To those who understand that the material world, from the topmost planet, up Brahma Bhuvanaloka, down to the lowest planet, all are places of misery, regardless of what situation one is in. Miserable, the miserable material world, Dukhalyama Shashvatamanitya Sukhaloka. Those, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's spiritual master, would say that if one understands this point, that there you cannot be happy in the material world no matter what. We all have our little dreams and our plans, but even if our little dreams or big dreams, if we have each and everything that we want, as indeed
someone in this world has some of the things that we want, and between all the people in the world, we can see examples of people possessing all the things that we long for. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura says, if one understands that none of those things, not a one of them, two of them, ten of them, or all of them, no situation in the material world can make one happy. If one understands that, he has taken the biggest step towards going back to Godhead. So, those who truly understand that the nature of the material world and the nature of the soul out of place in the material world, they really benefit from the hearing and chanting. So such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. And what does it cure? It cures this very thing, birth and death. Samsara dava nalalila loka, the forest fire of material existence, it cures it. It is the medicine, Oshu. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? So Prabhupada's purport here is quite long. We won't read it all. We'll read, we'll read from possibly a third of the way on page 23, if you have the same book that I do. This verse warns that Krishna Katha should be recited by a person who is nivritta trishti. Nivritta doesn't have any material longings or activities, lust. Nivritta tasha, nivritta thirst. Trishta means thirst for matter. It should be recited by a person who is like that. Now, unfortunately, we don't have the right person reciting it, but we are hearing from Prabhupada here, Sukadev, Swami Prabhupada. So therefore, by their mercy, it can be effective nevertheless. And therefore Prabhupada stressed book distribution. Sukadev Goswami epitomizes the proper reciter for Srimad Bhagavatam. And Maharaj and Parikit Maharaj, who purposefully left his kingdom and family prior to meeting death, epitomizes the person fit to hear it, because he didn't look for a shelter in the material world at his difficult time. He was cursed to die within how many days?
7 days.
But he didn't immediately start playing, go online and start playing or play computer games or started downloading this or that or visiting so many different websites. No, and nor did he count all his money, nor did he dress himself up very beautifully, nor did he even try to counteract anything. What he did was he gathered around him many sages and said, well, what is the best thing for me to do now? I'm going to die within 7 days. What should I do? How should I spend my time? And the answer was, from all the different sages, there was different answers. One said do this, and one said do that, and one said do this. But then when Sukadeva Goswami walked into the assembly, although he was a young boy, only 16, everyone recognized that he was the most exalted of personalities present, and he should be the one who answers this question. So he was given the seat, the highly esteemed seat of honor. And Maharaj Prickett asked him, and he said, Harinam Anukirtan, you should focus your mind on hearing Krishna Katha. Shrutavya and that will free you from fear. By hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna, that is the fearless place. Chaitstatevayam abhayam. The fearless process. So, because it was a perfect match between a qualified hearer and a qualified speaker, and therefore the result was wonderful. A qualified reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam gives the right medicine, Baba Oshadi, for the conditioned soul. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to train qualified preachers to recite Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita throughout the world, so that people in general, in all parts of the world, may take advantage of this movement and thus be relieved of the threefold miseries of material existence. There is no... There can never be too many, practically speaking, actually speaking, too many qualified speakers of the Bhagavatam, because even if there is one for every person in the world who did not know about Krishna, that would be wonderful. At least as long as there's one sincere person to speak to, one. Even Lord Nisringadev, he came because of one qualified devotee. Who was that? Prahlad. Yeah, one. He came. So if there is one qualified hearer, then that is inspiring for a qualified speaker. Sincere soul. Prabhupada is explaining the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is trying to train qualified preachers to do what? To recite Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita throughout the world, because there is such a great need. And that is the purpose of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to give a facility so that people can come and hear. And by hearing, people become qualified to be speakers. And the result will be that people can be relieved from the threefold miseries of material existence. And then the final paragraph of this purport. When discourses on Krishna Katha take place between a liberated spiritual master and his disciple, others also sometimes take advantage of hearing these topics and also benefit. So if one isn't perfectly qualified to be a fully renounced hearer, still, just by being there, one is benefited. These topics are the medicine to stop the repetition of birth and death. The cycle of repeated birth and death, by which one takes on different bodies again and again, is called bhava, or bhava rogue. Samsara also. If anyone, willingly or unwillingly, hears Krishna Katha, this bhava rogue, the disease of material existence, that's what it's hard for people to understand, that material existence is the problem, not one of the unlimited problems within material existence, but it's material existence itself that's the problem. It's the body, having a material body, is that's the problem. Prabhupada once said that the greatest intoxication is this body. And compared to that, everything else is just salt and pepper, just little spice. This is the great intoxication, illusion, that we are this is me. If anyone willingly or unwillingly hears Krishna Katha, this bhava rog, the disease of birth and death, will certainly stop. Therefore, Krishna Katha is called bhavoshadha, the remedy or the medicine to stop the repetition of birth and death. Karmis, or persons attached to material sense enjoyment, generally cannot give up their material desires. But Krishna Katha is such a potent medicine that if one is induced to hear Krishna kirtan, he will certainly be freed from this disease. Because on one level, the heart is purified. That means that the material desires are washed away, cleansed, cheto dharpana marjanam. And another level, that one tastes something that's of a different flavor, of a completely different flavor, something of the spiritual realm in kirtan and Krishna kirtan. One may not perceive it to its highest degree, because if there's a qualified speaker and a qualified hearer, the hearer can actually experience Krishna fully through hearing Krishna Kata. Fully. So we may not be able to do that, and maybe the speaker doesn't have the full qualification to give that, but yet there'll be a different flavor, something, a sweetness of the spiritual world, of the spiritual realm, that comes through and touches the heart, so different from the flavor of the material world. So on one side, the heart is cleansed. I don't want that, the material things. And on the other side, I want that. It has a sweetness of flavor that attracts me. Prabhupada continues, Kamis, or persons attached to material sense enjoyment, generally cannot give up their material desires, but Krishna Kata is such a potent medicine that if one is induced to hear Krishna Kirtan, he will certainly be freed from this disease. A practical example is Dhruva Maharaj. What canto is Dhruva Maharaj? It's past times explained. Four canto. Who at the end of his tapasya, he wanted to become what? He wanted to become a king. He was insulted, and his pride made him want to long to have a bigger kingdom. So where did he go? He was so pious, he was such a devotee, that he went to the forest to find God, and he wanted to get a benediction from God. And what did he want from God? To become a king of a great kingdom. But then, when he saw the Supreme Lord due to his austerities, the Lord wanted to give Dhruva benediction. Dhruva refused it. Swamin kritarto asmi varam yache. My dear Lord, he said, I'm fully satisfied. I'm seeing you. I'm fully satisfied. I do not ask for any benediction for material sense gratification. Previously, I was looking for material pleasures, but that was like pieces of glass. And I was thinking that glass to be valuable jewels. But now, having seen you, things are in their correct perspective. And the glass is seen as what it is. It's only glass. It's worthless, useless. Well, you are the actual jewel. This is what is actually to be gained. So I do not ask for any benediction for material sense gratification. We actually see, Prabhupada says, that even young boys and girls in the Krishna consciousness movement have given up their long practice of bad habits like illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Because Krishna consciousness is so potent that it gives them full satisfaction, they are no longer interested in material sense gratification. Text 5-7. Taking the boat, this is what Maharaj Cricket says, taking the boat of Krishna's lotus feet, my grandfather Arjuna and others crossed the ocean of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So because they took shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, they were able to survive. Practically, they were only the only survivors of the battle of this great battle of Kurukshetra. Why? Because they took shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. In which such commanders as Bhishma Dev resembled great fish and could very easily have swallowed them. So continuing the allegory,
of the ocean. And the Krishna's lotus feet were like the boat. By the mercy of Lord Krishna, my grandfathers crossed the ocean, which was very difficult to cross, as easily as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf. Because my mother surrendered unto Lord Krishna's lotus feet, the Lord, Sudarshan Chakra in hand, entered her womb and saved my body, the body of the last remaining descendant of the Kurus and the Pandavas, which was almost destroyed by the fiery weapon of Aswatthama. So this is in the eighth chapter of the first canto that was described, how Krishna, when Parikshit Maharaj was still in the womb, one person named Aswatthama tried to kill him with a fiery weapon. But Krishna, who was in the heart of everyone, came out of the heart and protected him with his club, protected the child in the womb. So that's a second example. Maharaj Parikshit is saying, the Lord has protected my relatives, the Pandavas. He's also protected me, protected them in the battle of Kurukshetra. So Lord Krishna, appearing within and outside of the materially embodied living beings by his own potency in the forms of eternal time, that is, as the Paramatma and as his Virata Rupa, gave liberation to everyone, either as cruel death or as life. Kindly enlighten me by describing his transcendental power. As Krishna protected me before, and as Krishna protected my forefathers, I want Krishna to protect me. I will take shelter of him in the form of Krishna in the Krishna Katha. Prabhupada's purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.58, Samasritaye parapalabha plavam mahatpadam punyaya shomarari Pavam buddhivatapadam param padam param padam yadvipadam natesham. For one who has accepted the abode of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Murari, or the enemy of the Mura demon, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's hoofprint. The goal is Parampadam, or Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, the place where there are no material miseries, not the place, this world, where there is danger at every step. Prabhupada continues, one who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna is immediately protected by the Lord. As the Lord promises in Bhagavad Gita 18.66, Aham tam sarva papabhyo, I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Masucha, do not fear, do not worry, do not hesitate. By taking shelter of Lord Krishna, one comes under the safest protection. Thus when the Pandavas took shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, all of them were on the safe side of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Maharaj Parikshit therefore felt obliged to think of Krishna in the last days of his life. This is the ideal result of Krishna consciousness. Ante Narayana Smriti. If at the time of death one can remember Krishna, one's life is successful. Maharaj Parikshit therefore, because of his many obligations to Krishna, intelligently decided to think of Krishna constantly during the last days of his life. Krishna had saved the Pandavas, Maharaj Parikshit's grandfathers, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Krishna had saved Maharaj Parikshit himself when he was attacked by the Brahmastra weapon of Aswatthama. Krishna acted as the friend and worshipable deity of the Pandava family. Moreover, apart from Lord Krishna's personal contact with the Pandavas, Krishna as the super soul of all living entities is the super soul of all living entities, and gives everyone liberation, even if one is not a pure devotee. Kamsa, for example, was not at all a devotee, yet Krishna, after killing him, gave him salvation.
Krishna consciousness is beneficial to everyone, whether one is a pure devotee or a non-devotee. So therefore, the point being that we should take shelter of Krishna, we should hear Krishna Katha, even if we're not pure devotees, even if we're the most fallen, impure person, we should still hear Krishna Katha, because Krishna is so merciful as the Lord who is within everyone's heart. He can give anyone, He can give His mercy to anyone. So Krishna consciousness is beneficial to everyone, whether one is a pure devotee or a non-devotee. One will come upward, purified. This is the glory of Krishna consciousness. Considering this, who will not take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna? Krishna is described in this verse as Maya Manushya, because he descends exactly like a human being. He is not obliged to come here like karmis or ordinary living beings. Rather, he appears by his own internal energy, sambhavam yapamaya, just to show favor to the fallen conditioned souls. Krishna is always situated in his original position as Satchidananda Vigraha. Means his form. He never leaves his position as full of bliss, knowledge, and eternity. His form is composed of that. And he comes to this world, he doesn't come to the material world in the same way that we come to the material world. He stays in his spiritual position when he's in the material world. He doesn't accept a material body. He comes sambhavam yatmamaya, by his own internal potency, by his own mercy, by his own desire to help the conditioned soul. To show favor, he comes by his own internal energy, sambhavam yapamaya, just to show favor to the fallen conditioned souls. Krishna is always situated in his original position of Satchidananda Vigraha, and anyone who renders service to him is also situated in his original spiritual identity. This is what liberation means, to be situated in our natural position. This is the highest perfection of human life. My dear Sukadev Goswami, you have already explained that Shankarshan, who belongs to the second quadruple, this is a little technical, appeared as the son of Rohini named Balaram. If Balaram was not transferred from one body to another, how is it possible that he was first in the womb of Devaki and then in the womb of Rohini? Kindly explain this to me. So this was something from the ninth canto that he heard, and he heard attentively and said, please explain this to me. How is it possible that Krishna had two mothers? He was Balaram. He was Devaki's son, and he was also the son of Rohini. He heard that. So how is that possible? Explain that to me. More questions. Why did Krishna, so inquisitive, why did Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, leave the house of his father Vasudev and transfer himself to the house of Nanda in Vrindavan? Where did the Lord, the master of the Yadu dynasty, live with his relatives in Vrindavan? So we'll hear all this as Sukadev answers these questions in explaining the 10th canto. Lord Krishna lived both in Vrindavan and in Mathura. What did he do there? Why did he kill Kamsa, his mother's brother? Such killing is not at all sanctioned in the Shastras. Why did he do this? Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, has no material body, yet he appears as a human being. He looks just like a human. For how many years did he live with the descendants of Rishni? How many wives did he marry? For how many years did he live in Dwarka? O great sage who knows everything about Krishna, please describe in detail all the activities of which I have inquired, and also those which I have not. For I have full faith, and I am very eager to hear of them. Because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water, he says. Yet, because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, My hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. And we'll just read, we'll conclude by reading the last part of this purport. To stop this repetition of birth and death, Krishna Katha, or Krishna consciousness, is absolutely necessary. But unless one hears Krishna Katha from a realized soul like Sukadeva Goswami, one cannot relish the nectar of Krishna Katha, which puts an end to all material fatigue, and enjoy, one cannot enjoy the blissful life of transcendental existence unless one hears from the proper source. In relation to the Krishna consciousness movement, we actually see that those who have tasted the nectar of Krishna Katha lose all material desires, whereas those who cannot understand Krishna or Krishna Katha regard the Krishna consciousness life as brainwashing and mind control. Prabhupada wrote this at a time especially when the Krishna consciousness movement was being attacked by deprogrammers and people saying that, oh, join this movement, and they become so brainwashed, so foolhardy, that they give up meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling. So they were really, it was so heavy actually. Now it's very, very different, especially in Australia, India. Then the Krishna consciousness movement wasn't powerful in India. And in Australia, everyone, if you walk down the street in a dhoti with a shaved head, people really were very inimical, very critical, and devotees were being kidnapped, forcibly kidnapped, and had to, without giving them proper eat food or sleep, they'd have to listen to criticism of Krishna consciousness and all kinds of things that we don't do were paraded in front of them. It was very, very, very heavy, because the parents couldn't understand. A lot of it was because of the parents not being able to understand how my child has become so confused that he's giving up meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, etc., which is people think this is the purpose of life. Things like that. So Prabhupada's saying it is not due to brainwashing, it is due to having tasted the nectar of Krishna Katha, and by the sweetness of that taste, they don't want the lesser taste. So it is not like brainwashing and mind control. While the devotees enjoy spiritual bliss, the non-devotees are surprised that the devotees have forgotten material hankering. Stop here. No time for questions, though. So if Krishna allows, we'll continue tomorrow with text 14.